People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, really?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'll be here all year. Thank you. Yeah, there is a tip jar on the floor, so if you could just, you know what I mean? Thank you so much for coming and for bringing a gift. I really appreciate that. What other show do you listen to where it's up to you to bring a gift to me? There's nothing like it. All right, that'll do it. That's enough. Thank you. Let's not overdo the theme music. This could go on forever. Welcome to the program. Please relax. You look a little bit, like, agitated. Stop it. Just relax. I will take it from here, and we will entertain you for the next exorbitant amount of time. Now, I have a very special show today. Happy Friday and happy weekend to you, by the way. I have a very special show for you today. You've heard his voice a thousand times. You've listened to his stuff. John Shanahan is a comedian, a writer, all kinds of stuff, a performer. He's with us today, by phone, obviously. John and I, every once in a while in our past, John was with the television show that I did for 20 years. Holy crap, that's incredible. And every once in a while, we would break open a bottle of wine and enjoy and have conversation that was so bizarre that the woodland animals in the area all started scurrying. Well, today that's happening. John's going to join us. We're going to chat. You're going to be able to eavesdrop on our conversation and figure out, or try to figure out, why these two guys are so damn bizarre. That's going to happen. As we drink the wine, John is also a connoisseur of beer, craft beer, Kraft macaroni and cheese. Actually, I don't think he is. Kraft macaroni and cheese. Ew. Do you ever have Kraft macaroni and cheese and then you eat it voraciously and as you're eating it, you say to yourself, what the hell am I doing? Make your own macaroni and cheese. Believe me, it's fun. Comes out a lot better if you're going to eat that stuff. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about? Where am I? Where am I? Should I click my heels? I want to go home. Speaking of beer, right after John's conversation with me, we're going to be joined by the actual owner and founder of Samuel Adams Beer with the Boston Beer Company. He's the man himself. He joins us for an interview today later on in the program. That'll be fascinating. It will. It's an alcoholic show. What can I tell you? Ladies and gentlemen, relax. Here we go. Let's say hello to a gentleman who is going to introduce us to a segment which I have been longing for quite some time. Here we go.
And now we're drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone, drinking with Mr. Shanahan, so he don't have to drink alone again.
Yes, it's Drinking with Mr. Shanahan, and guess who's here? It's Mr. Shanahan. Hello, John.
Hi there. Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for joining today.
It's my pleasure. I get tired of drinking alone.
Well, I eat alone. All right. May I ask what your liquid of choice is today?
Yes, you may, actually. And you know, I'm normally kind of a wine guy, but I got a meatloaf cooking downstairs.
All
so
right.
that you know, not really much for pairing the meatloaf with the wine, you know.
Well,
that's for later.
What indeed would be paired with meatloaf then?
Well, this beer that I'm drinking, Ron.
Beer.
A local brewery. I shan't name them because they're not sponsoring your show, the bastards. But nearby to me, like we're living in a magical time of breweries.
I guess.
Where you can't swing a dead hop without hitting a new brewery, it seems.
Wow.
Within a 20-minute maximum drive from my house.
Yes.
I can reach 5 different small breweries.
That's fantastic.
So it's been great for my functional alcoholism, which is awesome. It's just so much easier. So this is I'm actually sipping on a pale ale from a brewery nearby here. And as you know, and much like you, I'm let's call it southeast of Boston.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you are.
So I'm down in that area. So yeah. And how about yourself? Do you have a drink on hand to be drinking,
well,
with Mr. Shanahan?
I
That's a no. That is a solid
now,
no. Right
I, I've got to admit something. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon today, I got bored, and I decided to have some slices.
Some heroin, I understand.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No. I decided to have a few slices of cheese and have some red wine with that. So I did. So now I have switched over. And this is going to make me sound horrible, but I don't care.
Most things do.
They do.
Have you listened to your show?
You know, oddly enough, no.
Good choice.
Yeah, I have switched over to a mild, delicate vodka blend.
And that is okay too. I've never been a huge vodka person.
Oh wow, that is my drink of choice if I were to choose a drink.
Well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Are you the kind of vodka drinker who claims that you can taste differences in different kinds of vodka? Because to me, because there's no odor to it, and there was never much of a real taste to it outside of high-octane gasoline.
Right.
But are you able to discern specifics of taste within your vodkas?
Yes.
Really?
Well, not the actual taste. All vodka is the same, but I can tell by its stature. I can tell if it bites a little bit, if it's very, very smooth.
So you're judging it by the same criteria as you do your hookers?
No. Well, first of all, I don't pay them. And secondly...
Good choice. I didn't know you could still run that fast. Good for you, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's I call it a timeshare. So... So anyway, rent to buy. Let's call it rent to buy.
There you go.
Okay. So no. Anyway, yeah, I can tell if it's acidic, if it's smooth. I can almost tell the brand in that sense. They have different tastes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But nothing.
I may have to reassess. I may have to reassess my vodka approach.
It's odorless, colorless, very similar to my personality, and it goes with just about anything, which is not like my personality. So it's
stealing
it's
my hit lines before I can get to them.
I'm sorry. That's why I'm talking a little faster. And you are a wine connoisseur. I know you are. And
I'm a wine drinker.
No, you go a little further than that. I've seen it for myself.
Okay, we'll run with that for the sake of what you're going
to
say.
No, well, I've seen it for myself, and I'm not going to say anything. It's you know the differences between the wines. You have a bit more of an educated palate than most wine drinkers, such as myself.
That just comes from drinking a lot when you get right down to it.
All right.
You say educated palate. I say functional alcoholic.
All right. I guess that's true.
I must say, I mean, I do like my wines. I enjoy exploring the wines. Actually, recently I've started to I started to check out wines from Portugal. And they're very yummy. There's a lot of very nice, a lot of very nice whites from Portugal that I like. Vino Verdes are very tasty, light. Like it's the kind of wine that I want to hang out with on the porch in the summer.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
I don't know much about wines, but I went to the Museum of Fine Arts in the Boston area over the summer. And they have a wine bar thing, in a beautiful garden. It's really nice. And I saw it on the Argentinian wine, and I thought, well, this sounds interesting. I never had anything like it in my life. And then when I got home, I went to the liquor store, which is always what I do. And I got a bottle of Argentinian wine. It was from Argentina. That's all I opened it up. Same wonderful wine.
Was it a nice big red or?
It was a red wine. I don't recall the type. I'm not into that stuff, but it was glorious. And now if I see an Argentinian wine, I go crazy. I think, wow, this is going to be wonderful.
You got to have it.
Yeah, and I don't know why. If why from Argentina is it because there's a coup?
Yes, that was the first mandate. It was we're going to overthrow the government and make better wine.
Yes.
So they immediately were like, screw that shit we were drinking before. Let's make wine now.
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know.
If ever there's a reason to overthrow a government, it's for better wine.
Well, that's all I can think of. And because it's a lot of effort. What?
South American wines actually are really, really yummy, too. Yeah. There's a lot of very good wines out of Chile that are... you might want to explore as well, because those are equally tasty.
Now, you mentioned beer.
Beer.
I have a problem with beer.
Goes right through you?
No, well.
Makes you forget your pants?
No, one more. Go for it.
Causes you to get into fisticuffs with policemen?
No, not at all. I drink vodka.
Oh, that's even better. That's quicker.
Yeah.
Only thing faster than that's the tequila.
Yeah, I know. It gives me a lot of gas.
Everything does. I've known you for 40 years. Everything gives you gas.
But when you intake carbonated beverage, you're kind of asking for it. So
you just need to embrace the result and turn it into art.
Yeah. There's only two beers that I can drink. Unfortunately, and that's Guinness Draft and oddly enough, Budweiser, but everything else to me, has very little taste. It's just like drinking carbonated soda.
I have to say, I love a good Guinness. I mean, a perfectly poured Guinness, the best part outside of the wonderful flavor of the Guinness is that pause while you have to wait for it all to settle.
Yeah.
Back when you watch it kind of like drifting down the gas. We used to call it, friends and I used to refer to that as the parade.
Okay, nice.
You have to watch the parade.
Okay.
Because that Guinness needs a second to just kind of settle and get itself, like that perfectly poured thick head that you kind of rest a quarter on. Yes. And then you got to remember not to drink the quarter because otherwise it hurts coming out.
Ouch.
But there's just this wonderful ritual aspect to having a perfectly poured Guinness.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just get it and bang it back. Yeah. It's like you admire the Guinness first, and then you bang it back, and then you get into fisticuffs with a policeman.
Well, right. And you speak Irish for some reason.
Exactly. Everyone becomes Irish after their 17th Guinness.
So are you agreeing with me, or is there a butt coming?
No. Well, it's a little of both. I am agreeing with you. I found kind of a begrudging appreciation for Budweiser a while back.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have it for a while, it's fine. I mean, it's
consistent.
It's a nice, straight-up American lager. Yeah. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding that, particularly with a lot of, again, with these local breweries that are willing to experiment a little bit, play with different kind of hop blends and different things, you're getting a lot of very interesting, this will sound so friggin' she, like just different flavor profiles.
Okay.
That goes beyond just tasting like a soda pop. There's one that we've got down in the fridge that my wife likes, again, from this place, literally a mile away from my house. Mm-hmm. You just get like these great, almost like pineapple flavors off it, and a little bit of citrus, and it's light, and it's, you know, again, mm-hmm. it's your best friend on the front porch in the warm weather. They're just playing with them more and more. There are a lot of, you know, dark ales in my area, or like brown ales that have this great like coffee and toffee flavors in them, and those are nice to kind of, you know, just kind of play with. I need to get you over this away. Mm. You know, when this is on the all clear, not right. going there. Mm-hmm. And treat you to some fantastic little local brews. I mean, there are some that they're playing with that I don't like. Like there, a lot of the local breweries for me recently went through this thing where they started to do like beers based on ice cream flavors and stuff.
Yeah, I've been.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not pleasant to me. Like peaches and cream beer. No.
I understand.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, that's the craft part where it's over experimenting to the point where you're turning me off because you're giving me too much stuff that I'm not caring for. See, my point was originally that the Guinness and the Bud are smooth. But I find the craft beers not to have much smoothness to them.
Interesting. Mm. I know that a lot of the craft stuff now, like everyone's big on the IPAs, which can be a little like bitterish and very hop forward.
Yes, that's where I don't go right.
There's only so much punishment your tongue can take in one sitting. But you know, again, the ability right now to go to a place that's nearby where you know that it's you know it was made 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they're playing with stuff, and you know, and to support the local businesses, I think it's a lovely thing.
Yeah, I will send along to you. People listening don't care about this particular part here that I'm going to say.
Okay,
but there's a place in it's in Massachusetts. It's something Brook Winery, and it's down in the in the Dighton area, around 495, no, I'm sorry, around 195, and you sit there, they have wine tastings, but they also have music every Saturday, and you can sit there all day and just buy glasses of wine from them and eat oyster crackers, and I spent hours and hours there on Saturdays. We will have to frequent that place.
If only for the oyster crackers.
Yes, true.
I have to confess, as a lifelong New Englander, oyster crackers are the bomb.
Yeah, they are.
Oyster crackers are. I don't even want them in chowder. Like, that's fine. I'll put them in the chowder. If I see a stray packet of oyster crackers and there's no chowder around, I don't care. I'm going after those puffy little bastards like nobody's business.
That's what they are. They're puffy little bastards. They're pillows of love.
Of sheer goodness from heaven.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who invented them, but I'm going to kiss him on the lips when I meet him in heaven.
That's the only person I'm going to kiss on the lips in heaven, by the way.
Pretty much. Well, actually, that guy
and
the person who invented scallops wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, I mean...
Seriously. The first guy to go, you know what this seafood needs? Pork.
No.
Well, shit, Jim, you're right. It absolutely does.
And oddly enough, had the guy not eaten so much of his own invention, he wouldn't be there. He'd still be alive.
But what a way to go.
I know.
All right, I'm going for 250.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Do you ever think about that with the heaven thing, where you get there and you meet up with all your loved ones, and you realize, no, you don't understand. These are the people that I wanted to get away from.
Why'd you bring me back here?
Right. I don't understand the concept now.
Oh, God, it's touchy Uncle Ted. No.
Exactly. Forever.
You deserve
forever,
to die.
Forever he's there touching you. All right. Anyway.
That escalated quickly.
Yes, I know. Yeah, way out of sequence.
Must be the drinking.
Yeah.
Hey, what a concept you came up with, this drinking right? with Mr. Shanahan. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's just that, again, there's a topic that we're not talking about, but because of that, I ended up with a little extra free time, and I thought, I have not just, like, my creative output, I for those of you who do not know me, and that is all seven of your audience, I have been a performer. I have been a writer. There are things that I have done that, as time has gone by, I do considerably less of. And there are just times. Actually, let's tell your audience. I you and I actually met up completely by accident earlier. Actually, it was late last year, summer of last year, at an arts festival in my hometown, which is nowhere near your hometown. But apparently you love arts festivals, or your partner does.
Yes.
And we talked, and it's one of those things where, like, anytime that you and I talk, because, you know, we used to perform together a lot, and because I have been, you know, a contributor to your program for a number of years.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, everybody knows that. But there's this great, like, give and take energy that I enjoy. And I had realized that I really miss that. My problem is that lately, any kind of creative, like, thought of any kind of creative endeavor absolutely exhausts me the minute it enters my head.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's just like, oh, I don't want to put that kind of energy into it. What's going to come of it? Oy, who cares? But having a little extra free time, I said to myself, I would like to appear on this Van Damme show in more than my usual 15 to 45 second segments.
Right, right, which everybody's familiar with.
Your bump announcer, your upfront guy. I do the commercials.
Yes. No, I mean, there's a lot of work and thought that goes into that stuff. And but what you did was, interestingly enough, you did the most creative yet easiest thing you could possibly do: sit in a chair with a beer or wine and just talk. I mean, you know, it's not like you got to film the same thing over and over and do the scene and rehearse the lines.
Right.
Yeah. So I do prefer this. This is the way to go. Anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now that we're done kissing each other's asses, what do you want to talk about next?
God, there's an activity. There's an activity I haven't tried at home. Man.
Sorry, caught me with a mouthful of pale ale.
Have you tried? I know a lot of people in their homes now, are, for the time being now, are having little wine parties virtually. And I have not been to one yet. I would like to set one up. I don't know how many people you're supposed to cram into a wine party screen.
Well, as many as you can manage. Yeah, actually, my office, part of what's going on in the world today is that, I mean, I'm a writer for a living.
Yes.
So there's nothing that I do in my day job that I can't do from home. Back in the beginning of 2018, I had a serious back injury. And I was actually laid up for 3.5 months. I was on my back basically from mid-January to mid-April. But through the internet, VPNs, all this, this fantastic science fiction connectivity that we have now, I didn't have to miss a day of work.
Ouch.
I mean, I was holding meetings flat out in my bed, in my jammies, jacked the fuck up on Vicodin.
Wow.
And just holding these meetings.
Wow.
So, like, I got used to having to work remotely. So, which is great. So, knowing that we could do that, my office actually has started having virtual happy hours.
Really?
On Fridays, we get onto this this one app, which, again, because they don't sponsor your show, I shan't name.
Right.
And people log in. And we get to see each other. We get to talk. It's been really, really good. My wife is a teacher.
Yes,
she's been using the same technology to hold staff meetings with her faculty, and occasionally to do some distance learning with her students. Less than the meetings. Actually, she runs a theater camp.
Right,
and you know, because you can't get 35 kids into a room right now. She's actually used that same technology to hold rehearsals.
Something.
And because of the way that it works too, she's actually able to take groups of kids. If they need to go work on a song while other kids need to work on their lines, you can set up separate rooms.
Yeah.
Within the same conference. That's those kids go off that way.
Weird.
So you can get a bunch, and it's a great thing. Like I'm not a hugely social person to begin with, but I have jumped into a couple of these things, and you know, given the atmosphere, it's nice to be able to do that. I don't want to do it for more than half an hour or so.
No, but you don't have to. I mean, the great thing, you know, it's horrible, but at the same time, I have found solace in this, in the sense that I don't have to kick people out of my house, which is really, really nice. I don't have to wear pants.
Well, never do.
Well, true. Okay. Forget that one. But I would love to do that. But when you get too many people at your wine party on the virtual wine party, doesn't the screen get so filled up that you can't see the people anymore? There's just tiny little boxes.
Yeah, there's tiny little boxes.
I don't like the tiny boxes.
I think you want to keep it to like a half dozen, eight
That's
or nine
a lot
people.
Of people. Tops. That's a lot of people.
Here's the great
eight or
key.
Nine people.
I'm going to let people in on my one secret for this video conferencing now that everybody's trying to do it. And, you know,
what is that?
And everybody feels obligated to go on to the conference. When you get tired of it.
Yes.
Don't just say like, hey guys, I'm going to go, you know, because then you look kind of like a dick.
Okay.
What you do is you say something and then in the middle of the sentence, keep moving your mouth, but stop speaking.
Man.
And then reach over and hit whatever button you need to on your computer. I believe on a PC, it will be your Alt F4 button. On a Mac, it's going to be like Control W or Command W, which will close out that window. And then you text someone and say, internet issues.
You are a freaking genius.
Right?
Wow.
So it looks like it wasn't that you're a dick.
Wow.
It's that your technology was being a dick.
Wow.
And it cut you off from the meeting that you wanted to be part of.
You have closed the loop on this.
You like that?
Thank you.
Now, right now, your audience is scribbling this shit down so quickly.
This is
what was it? Alt F4. Yes. I think he's at Alt F4.
Yes. If you look at the top right-hand corner of the screen right now, you're going to see EI, Entertainment and Information. Thank you so much. And we're also in Spanish. Thank you. Thank you so
much. Primados.
Primados. Thank you so much for that. I'm ready to party then.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
Right.
You just, you know, we've all done it.
Yeah.
Stop talking, but keep moving your mouth, and then just hit that button.
Technology is beautiful. Yeah, my wife does not know technology at all. Mm-hmm. She will pick up the remote control for the TV, put it up to her ear and go, "Hello, hello." She says, "No, that's not the phone. That's the remote, honey." And she goes, "I can't understand this stuff." So she won't be at the party.
She's walk around in the background going, "Who are you talking to?
Right. Who are you talking to on that thing on the TV set?
Okay. What's our AOL password?"
I know I forgot.
Right?
Yeah. Do you have a lot of stuff in the cloud?
Rain mostly.
I don't even know what a cloud is.
Birds.
No, I really don't.
I don't use that technology. I'm just not that hip. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I have some stuff on a Google Drive somewhere, only because it's just convenient. I started doing that actually, largely so I could work on my own stuff while I was at work.
Yeah.
You know, because before you'd be carrying around disks with you or a thumb drive.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know,
having to try
to sneak it into your work computer.
I remember that.
You have it on Google Drive, and you just kind of
you even said the proper term. It's a question of age. If you're in your 40s, are good. When you hit 50, it's pretty much I think I know what you're talking about. And then you hit 60, and it's pretty much, what the hell are you talking about? And those are the grades.
Yep. The speed with which new stuff comes out now is astonishing. Yeah. And the fact that all of these kids are, you know, what they call digital natives. Mm. Now, my daughter is a digital native. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't remember a time before the internet.
I know. I don't even know either. I don't remember a time before yesterday.
You try playing a modem sound for a kid, and they'll wonder what that crappy music is.
You're right.
You know, but we were like, oh, God, it's connecting. Yay.
Wow.
Now we just have to wait a half an hour for AOL to load.
Yeah. Well, that was then. Well, even, you know, AOL, by the way, to defend AOL, because you're really like hitting on it.
I'm sorry, Internet for Old People, go ahead.
No. AOL is not what it used to be. There's no no pinging going on.
Well, I know that.
It's fast and it's got its thing going, man. It's no different than anything else.
Are you still on AOL?
What's your point? I have three different email things with different people, different companies.
Yes, I heard you the other day talking about your numerous Facebook accounts because you can't keep track of where you've been on social media. Not that you use it.
Well,
this is the other thing that people need to understand. You have a number of social media profiles, but you do not use them
at all.
At all.
No, the story, and it's true, is I would set up a page. And then I didn't think it worked, so I would start do another one. So now there are four of them, and I still don't work with any of them. But I never think that they're effective or that I did them right. And I've never canceled one because no one's found me out yet. I don't think you're supposed to have four, by the way. I'm not sure, but I don't think you are.
not unless you're running criminal activities.
I know. Well,
Diego Della Garcia.
Yeah. Well, if I ever decide to, I'm set up for it. So there you go. So it's Meatloaf tonight for you.
It is Meatloaf tonight. Yeah.
Very nice.
Meatloaf is down there, and a little bit of sweet potato actually in the Instant Pot. Do you have an instant pot?
No, I don't.
Join the cult. Join the cult. It's a magical thing.
Is that similar to the air fryer thing?
No, it's a wonder device that is both a pressure cooker and a slow cooker.
Yeah, last time I heard about a pressure cooker,
that's sautés and oh my goodness! I'll tell you what, I am the kind of person I don't buy anything for myself.
Yeah.
I just don't. I want for nothing, or I'm just too friggin' cheap to buy it.
Yeah.
So we had friends that talked about the wonder of the Instant Pot. Oh my God, you can do so many things with them. Like, it's a friggin' slow cooker. Like, I don't need another slow cooker.
Yeah, right.
I got it. My wife bought me one for Father's Day last year, as I recall. And I am a total convert. I am doing things as simple as hard boiling eggs in 6 minutes.
John,
the Instant Pot.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you, here was the absolute selling point for me.
What?
Frozen meatballs.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
From completely frozen to ready to eat in 6 minutes. And as soon as I did that, and they came out perfectly and they were cooked all the way through, I knelt down before my Instant Pot and I pledged my fealty to it.
Did you ever hear of a microwave?
Yeah, see, but when you do that, they get hard and nasty and
you know,
they develop like and they'll still be frozen in the center so you can eat through scalding hot meat to get to that like M&M of ice.
See, to me, that's like reading a book on a screen on a tablet as opposed to sitting down and opening up a hardcover book. I can't eat stuff if I don't have it in a saute pan. On the stove, if that's what it calls for, or perhaps grilling, or in the oven, I can't fathom doing things in gizmos. I don't get the smells. I don't get the full enjoyment of the food as it's coming along.
But I'll tell you, when you crack the little valve on the Instant Pot when you cook something, and the pressure comes out and the steam comes up, and then the whole kitchen is enveloped in the glory.
Well, that's like a slow cooker. They do that to you. Come home from work when that happened, and then the house would smell wonderful. I get that.
Yeah, but this comes out like all at once. There's no smell, and then suddenly it's everywhere.
I don't. Oh, that's. Oh my God. That's like in the cloud.
A cloud of smell.
Yeah. I think it was July. My wife got me an air fryer, And I said, I never want one of those things. Don't you dare bring that in the house or there'll be no house for you to live in. But she brought one home and I tried it and it sucked. And I have it in my, I have it in my basement. I tried it quite a few times and every time it sucked. So that just solidified my feelings about cooking gizmos.
All right. I can see that. All right.
I don't know.
I understand your prejudice.
But again, you're right. You know, AOL is one of my services, so I get it. Get it. Not like I have a
wall. If you can't cook it over hot coals, I don't want it.
Right. Hey, pick up the wall phone, will you? It might be Mary. You know, I don't
dial do Gibson 6049.
Lucy, get me Sarah on the phone. All right.
Damn it, Festus, get off the line. I got to make a call.
Exactly. Exactly. Not that I remember that. I've heard stories about that.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, no, I don't. Yeah, I was no, not around with that, no.
No.
No, no, no. All right. Well, thank you for drinking with me today.
My pleasure. It was a delicious brew and a fine company, and I know we will do this again.
Yes, please. We will set that up. And ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the first installment of Drinking with Mr. Shanahan.
And I don't want to, by the way, I don't want to brag, but the theme song, I wrote it myself. And then I found like there was a homeless gigolo named Figaro Gonzalez,
yes.
Who I got to play the piano for me.
What a sucker. Right? Hey, I got to tell you very, very quickly.
Go for it.
Oh my God! You've had young children. You know the baby.
I beg your pardon, sir.
That you know.
You want to rephrase that for me?
You know the baby shark song.
Vaguely, that was the thing that was when my daughter was needing to do that.
It's the song that never gets out of your head when you go to bed at night. You can't fall asleep because that song's in there. That happened with Drinking with Mr. Shanahan jingle. I swear, and I'm not doing that to be funny. That actually happened.
I'm glad I could help.
I remember at 4 o'clock in the morning, lying in the bed saying, "Damn him!"
Drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone.
And now we're drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone. Drinking with Mr. Shanahan so he don't have to drink alone again.
Excellent, 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 excellent. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, yes, yes indeed, the owner and founder of Samuel Adams Beer, the man himself, I don't understand why he's not drunk 24/7, but apparently he's not. He will be joining us momentarily. I know. This is going to be crazy, man.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Jim Cook joins us now. He's the founder and brewer of the Boston Beer Company. We know them as the Samuel Adams. You know that beer. Yeah. There he is. Hey, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
What do you have in front of you? Anything interesting?
Well, yes. I have a Sam Adams Boston Lager in front of me, but I am a trained professional. So
that's right.
Don't try this at home. But
actually,
I'll be kind of your designated drinker.
Actually, you probably should try this at home because it's a good time to do this. Not necessarily that time of day, but
that's true. We're all locked down, quarantined. So
yeah,
what better thing than to start your day early?
Yeah, I mean, when I heard about essential places being open and liquor stores were included, I thought, okay, I can do this. Okay, so here he is. All right.
Obviously, sales of just about everything have changed, and restaurants which feature your beer all over the place are certainly hit. And I know you have some concerns about that.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, I started Sam Adams in my kitchen in 1984.
Oh, wow.
And the whole company was two people. Nobody had ever heard of Sam Adams craft beer. The term hadn't even been invented. There were just a few, you know, crazy pioneers trying to re-educate Americans about, you know, quality beer and traditional brewing processes. And I had to put cold beer in my briefcase and go from bar to bar trying to sell my beer.
Wow.
And, you know, when I started, it was bar and restaurant people that listened to my pitch, that tried my beer, that said, wow, this is a really great beer. Maybe I'll put it in my bar. Mm-hmm. And they helped launch Sam Adams. And I promised myself that I would not forget that, and that maybe someday I would have an opportunity to say thank you by giving back. And then about a month ago, when this sudden lockdown happened, and unexpectedly, virtually every bar and restaurant had to close, lay off their staff, all of a sudden, you know, there were all these bar and restaurant people who generally kind of live from paycheck to paycheck. All of a sudden, you know, their income was cut off. But I knew they still had bills to pay, but no money to pay with. So we started the Restaurant Strong Fund to write checks immediately to people who had urgent needs. You know, I knew the government would eventually step in, but I knew that, you know, people had car payments to make, and they, or else they would lose their car, or rent payments, or other, you know, immediate needs. So that was the beginning about a month ago of the Restaurant Strong program.
It's something, because you're the Boston Beer Company, but this extends far beyond Boston.
Yeah, we launched it in Boston, in Massachusetts, and it surprised me how successful it was. We kickstarted it with $200,000, and since then, we've continued. We raised in Boston over $500,000, and so we thought, well, we can do this throughout New England. And now it's grown to 20 states, and Boston Beer Company has contributed a little over $2 million.
Awesome.
But we've continued to raise money from, you know, your listeners, from you know, people sending in $10 checks to you know, well-known people who stepped up to help out, like, you know, Ernie Bach, or David Ortiz, you know, James Devlin, the all-pro fullback for the Patriots, Tuukka Rask, the goalie for the Bruins. I mean, really well-known people who realized that the people who poured them a beer when they needed it or brought them their meal needed their help. So they contributed as well.
It's amazing. And they will soon again. But in the meantime, this is certainly great what you're doing. Your beer is very interesting.
Us,
yeah, go on.
Well, you know, for us, it's been really gratifying because we've gotten letters from people who got grants, you know, and these are just, you know, everyday people, and they've written us to say, gee, I needed some medication for my kids. I don't have a health care plan. I need to pay cash. You know, this $1,000 check made a huge difference to me. So for us, it's been an opportunity that I've waited 35 years for.
Yeah, it's interesting. I talk about giving back. I can picture you taking your beer, this family recipe, I understand it was your grandfather's, great-grandfather's recipe, and walking into an establishment and saying, will you please serve my beer? And they turned around and they said, yeah, it's a good thing, and yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to help you out. And then here you are all these years later actually giving back to the very places that took you in.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're grateful, you don't stop being grateful.
Right.
And this was finally a really wonderful opportunity. And I've been very gratified by the support that we've gotten in sort of $5 and $10 contributions. Because you'd be surprised how many people out there have worked in the hospitality business at some point in their life. And it was personal to me.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter is a server at a restaurant down in Washington, D.C., and she went in for her shift, and she was told, well, I'm sorry, we're closing.
Mm-hmm.
Go home, and, you know, we can't afford to pay you. And she went home and thought, oh, my gosh, I've got a rent payment due in 2 weeks. I don't have the money to cover it. And, you know, she had a supportive family who could pitch in and help her out. I kind of wanted to fill that role for people in her situation who don't have a family that can help them with their rent.
Exactly. And I mean, the service industry, as great as it is and as well as you can do, is certainly not a secure situation for many employees who survive on tips and yet give a great amount of pleasure to those that they serve. Now, how can a member of the public contribute to this?
It's very simple. There's one site for everything. It's restaurantstrong.org.
Okay.
And that's the site for the Restaurant Strong Fund. So you can go there if you're a member of the public and you're thinking, gee, I eat out every week once, and, you know, so I'm going to, the tip that I would have given for that meal, I'm going to tip through restaurantstrong.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there for information, and importantly, you know, laid off people with immediate and urgent needs in the restaurant industry can go there to apply for a $1,000 grant.
And again, this is a national thing.
It is. It started right here in Massachusetts, and it was so successful as a means for people to contribute to help restaurant workers and for restaurant workers to receive grants. We've taken it to 20 other states.
Very good. Well, thank you for what you do, and I know, you know, everybody appreciates that. And continued success to you. And again, that is restaurantstrong.org. Check it out and see what you can do to help out. And someday we'll be able to look back and say we did a good thing here. Thank you so much for your time today.
Ron, thank you for, you know, helping us get the word out.
Thank you. Jim Cook, Boston Beer Company, Samuel Adams, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your indulgence. You're very special to me. Sorry. I tried to do it with a straight face, but I couldn't. All right. Make the best of every single day. You can do it. I'll be back again on Monday. Until then, I wish you peace.